Now it is a pleasure and privilege for me to welcome our lovely Barbara Friedman. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy. So I feel like we're back where we were months ago because the Western Cape is kind of trending and it's to do with COVID-19. And it sort of reminds me of the beginning when everyone was pointing fingers at us, if you recall,
before
it kind of went north.
That's right.
So anyway, the health minister is really Mkhize, who himself is recovering from COVID-19 along with his wife at the moment and seems to be doing well, he says. He's taken to social media to express his concern. I mean, one, that there's been a 9% increase in COVID-19 infections nationwide in that past week, but that new infections have grown 42% in the last 7 days in the Western Cape.
Right.
So I just, you know, I think you and I were chatting earlier and maybe saying, you know, it is something we need to, you know, we used to report on this every day on the show and we don't now. And I don't think that's a problem, but I think every now and then we need to check in and take the temperature, dare I use the pun. And yeah, the one thing he does say is, aside from the 42% increase in infections, which he considers to be a resurgence in the Western Cape, he did say in one of his tweets, the single biggest cluster outbreak has been identified to be in the southern suburbs in the Cape Metro associated with a super spreader event in a bar. And I think it's interesting because although that was the initial perception, the owner of the Tin Roof did come onto our station. I'm not saying what is right and what is wrong, but he basically said that they're running it like a restaurant in a way, and that there were many parties in the southern suburbs over that same weekend, private parties in homes where kids, young people, many of them 18, were engaging. So I think it's quite heavy for him to sort of blame it on that bar, but
I hear you and I agree with you. And once again, this is where social media takes it out of context.
I feel like we should be having this conversation every day.
And I think this is the danger of social media.
Spreading news.
And spreading news. Because social media, social media is the media these days.
Media.
And we need to be very careful because, yes, you're right. There were at other parties. Some of them got their smashed already. But that's the reality of the situation. So, yeah, we need to be careful.
And then maybe just to remind ourselves that we have 18,741 COVID-19 deaths in the country this far. And I know that is nothing compared to the 222,000 deaths in the United States. I mean, we're doing well, relatively. But let's not get ourselves, you know.
I am concerned, Bobs, because people are becoming more complacent. I drove past a full taxi, and the taxi driver wasn't wearing a mask. And I looked at this guy, and I thought, bro, you have family at home. You have passengers. Are you not concerned about yourself? And it's this complacency that's setting in. And we need to be careful, especially with our elderly as well.
And we're heading for summer and people want to get out. And I don't know if you've noticed this, and I've worn my mask all through this, but I find in summer it is very hot wearing a mask when you're walking outside. It's not comfortable.
It's not.
But moving on to the next story, which is a very big one all over social media and the news wires, which is Nigeria and the protests that have been going on there for quite a while now. And I thought, let's just play a little clip of what's just recently happened there. Let's joke and play it.
Everyone sit down, sit down, sit down.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a great sound of bullets being fired. And this is allegedly Nigerian forces opening fire on protests in Lagos after many days of demonstrations against police brutality. The SARS, as they call it there, not our SARS.
Yeah, I know.
I kept seeing in the beginning of the hashtag, I kept thinking, what's SARS done now? The Special Anti-Robbery Squad called SARS. It's a police unit with a reputation for corruption and torture, and it has allegedly been involved in all of this. And it's really, I think this is the important point to note. We're talking about social media just now. The youth of Nigeria, which make up the vast majority of the population, it's a very young country, seem to now have just said, we've had enough.
Yeah.
And they're using social media and social media platforms to put their message out there, but also to raise funds for their organizations. And I thought that was interesting. In fact, via Twitter, Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter, has actually been encouraging this, and nearly 5 million followers of his, he put a tweet out, were encouraged to contribute. And they've raised a lot of money to help hire security guards, pay for private ambulances, cover legal bills of those demonstrators.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting, because if we think about 30 years ago when we were fighting a struggle in this country mm-hmm. against apartheid, we didn't have social media.
No, we did not.
We had to do things in a very different way. And so I thought it was interesting watching this struggle going on in a time of social media. We obviously have to watch this carefully. I think it's really interesting that the youth of Nigeria, who make up more than half of Nigeria's 206 million people, are under 30, with a median age of 18 years old. I mean, that's incredibly young. And is it a time for them to have a say in what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So conflicting figures coming out. I'm reading an article on the BBC where the one governor is saying 24 people injured, only one dead. I don't believe that.
The authorities are denying the deaths.
Yeah,
let's just make that clear.
Yeah.
But, again, aren't they going to say that?
Of course.
And then finally, on a much lighter note, and it's very light because it went up into space, it's a chicken nugget that was launched into space. Yes, this is breaking news. So a British frozen goods grocer called Iceland Foods sent a chicken nugget 20.7 miles. I kept translating that into kilometers, but there I didn't in that case. And they sent it into space. So the nugget made its way about one third into outer space. Can you believe that? That's about 100 kilometers above the Earth.
Wow.
62 miles, about 100 kilometers above the Earth. It floated up and around in space. And as Sent Into Space, who was the organization they used to do it, said it was unbothered by the low pressure and temperatures that can dip down to minus 85 degrees Fahrenheit up that high.
Wow.
And then it rocketed down to Earth at 200 miles per hour, which is 321 kilometers an hour. And its parachute opened up. And I think it landed in one piece.
What was my next question?
But of course this is an advert. What I mean is this is a PR stunt. But it was quite funny, because I suppose the point is, what would you send up into space? I think a chicken nugget is a lot better than a live chimpanzee, which was used in the old days to test.
I agree. You can send up everything except your mother-in-law.
I don't have one. I'm happy to say.
Anyway, Bobs, thank you so much for coming in. We'll chat to you again tomorrow morning.
No, you won't.
No, we won't. That's right.
On Monday.
I'll see you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend.